And welcome back to another episode of Geeks Experience. We're back. This is our review of Spider-Man into the... Oh, no. Cross Spider-Verse.
Cross Spider-Verse, yes.
Originally part one.
Yeah.
They pulled an Infinity War on us.
Yeah, the second one's going to be its own movie, right?
Yeah.
Comes out next March, right?
Yeah, March of next year. So, yeah. oh, my God. This is... How do we talk about this movie without spoiling it? Because this is a very hard movie not to spoil, right?
Yeah, and especially hard because it is a little bit of a spoiler, but because this was originally a part two, there is a clear like
cliffhanger
sort of setting to it, right?
Yeah, in the same vein as Infinity War, I would say. Where that one just kind of like, it just ends, right? Though I feel like some people are going to be more annoyed with this one than it was for Infinity War. Because it ends at such a high note.
Well, it ends at what, you know, now granted, if it continued on, like, yeah. It would definitely feel a bit rushed, but...
Oh, no, of course, yeah, no, there's a reason why there's a part two, and then I think there's also a reason why the second film is going to be in its own thing.
Yeah.
But yes, Across the Spider-Verse, we are continuing Miles' story as Spider-Man, as more dimensional traveling as afoot. The spot, which is a very C-tier, I'm probably giving it the wrong, you know.
Yeah, it's a very obscure Spider-Man villain, right?
Very obscure. My only reference to him was in the anime 90s cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And in that one, he dies. Literally, the first episode shows up, he comes in and he dies. But they use his technology, the stuff that he does in this movie, akin to, I'll get into that in a minute, right? So, which leads into, the eventual, meeting of Miles and the rest of the spider, group, I guess, society, I guess is what the switch
called. A legion of spiders?
If you will.
I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, that's basically the bronze strokes of it. As we tend to do, we tend to give our 1 minute thoughts on this film. And then we go into deeper discussion. Again, this will be a spoiler free. We will not be talking about that much about the movie. And it will be hard for us because like it's kind of hard not to, but, we'll start off with Joey. You'll give us your 1 minute thought on this movie.
All right, so Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is, I will say it's very, it lives up to, I think, the hype that a lot of people wanted from the, since the first Spider-Verse was such a good movie. So it lives up to the hype. It's still beautifully animated, like seeing all these various characters with their own animation styles, hills, and, you know, seeing all that transpire in this movie is great. Miles' journey seems to be he's going to be on a very interesting journey about whether or not, you know, like, he's able to, like, you know, fit in with these new spider people as well as just figuring out his own place in, you know, this whole Spider-Verse, if you will. And we see all the other characters that do show up, like Miguel O'Hara and Spider-Punk, all those guys are super interesting. I really do enjoy this movie. I think it is just, like, it's a great sequel and follow-up to the original Spider-Verse.
All right. You went a little over, but pretty good summer up. I guess that leads it to me. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. If you are a big Spider-Man fan, this is one of the movies to watch. This is one of those movies that, whether or not you feel like, you know, the live actions weren't hype enough or whatever reason, no, this movie lives up to everything you want. All the animation styles across the board are each different and unique to themselves and are all fun in their own very way. Their own way. The characters are also very well written in a way that fits within the story. Continuing themes come up from the first movie and, you know, consequences from the first movie also continue on into this film. And so, yeah, no, again, if you are a big Spider-Man fan, there's a lot of stuff for you in there. There's a lot of stuff that I can help but point out, and that's you know, I felt like a kid again. And this story and story leaves you on such a high note that makes you know, can't wait for the next one. So yeah, that's our thought. Now, where do we begin in our conversation? I guess the first part is Miles himself. At this point, he's a year into being Spider-Man.
Yeah, a year into being Spider-Man.
And already he's having a hard time dealing both the life of a superhero and the life of a normal person.
Yeah, like he, you know, he's obviously having to balance both of these responsibilities. Like he's having these conversations about going to college. You know, like obviously he has issues with his parents as well. Like trying to like live this double life. You know, his dad's a cop, and he's very sort of like having to like, you know, go behind their backs and stuff. And then they're like, "Hey, where are you always going, Miles?" Like it's kind of concerning, you know.
A thing that Peter has not had to deal with in such a long time. So it's when I say it's his own journey, it's very much that where he's you know, kind of doing his own thing, but still trying to find that like nice like work-life balance. Now, whether or not he's successful in that is going to be the point of the what comes next in this film and in the next one.
Right.
Because there's a lot of like things riding on him being that way. Obviously, we have an introduction of Miguel O'Hara and the rest of the Spider-Verse. What do you think about that?
From the various Spider people that do show up, Spider-Man 2099, I think he's very good. I think Oscar Isaac does great as Miguel O'Hara.
Yeah, it's interesting how in the promotional material they kind of paint him as the villain, right? Well, obviously the villain is Spot, and but Miguel himself isn't as he's antagonistic, but not in a I'm the bad guy kind of way.
Yeah, because it's very much like Miguel's whole thing is that you know he's the guy who brought all these Spider people together, pretty much to like maintain the multiverse, if you will. That's which is why Spot is a big deal because he's messing with that, and you know he's very much like we got to stop this guy, you know, whatever, you know, and obviously him and Miles come to a head because of certain methods Miguel uses. And, you know, Miles is like, "Hey, that's not, you know, cool, man." And, you know, that they have, you know, their sort of disagreements, and that's sort of where we do see Miguel being like antagonistic. Like he's not like I would agree, yeah, he's not a bad guy in that sense, but he's pretty much like the means justify the ends kind of thing.
And as someone who like who's read on 2099 Miguel, he is basically as faithful to the comics as he is because he's always been kind of known as like the asshole Spider-Man, and more so than like he's kind of in the same vein as like Kane Parker or Ben Reilly in some aspect. By the way, Ben Reilly does show up, and I love how they make him basically this like 90s edge boy.
Yeah, like he's a very angsty guy, you know, very sort of, you know, like, you know, he's a product of the 90s. And
Very
he,
brooding.
yeah.
And not in a, but in a fun way. Not like a Batman kind of way.
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, my past, oh, it hurts." But yeah, no, you get a lot of that. But Miguel is always the headstrong one. Yeah, and so, like, seeing Miguel being the way he is not only fitting for the character, but his reasonings are very understandable. It actually kind of reminds me of some of the aspects that happened in the comics back when he's on it. But I'm not gonna go that deep into it because it's not that important to the overall thing.
Yeah, I mean, we also see Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman.
Very different Jessica Drew. Same themes going on, but very different.
Yeah, and Spider-Punk, who's interesting.
Yeah, he's very much to the key.
Yeah, like he even has this very sort of, you know, punk art style
Yeah.
and how he's animated. Like he's always like kind of changing like colors here and there and stuff.
Yeah, like if you ever think about like the punk aesthetic of the 70s and like the 80s era, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, like he's like straight up, like it feels like he's like being ripped by like various album covers of like various punk bands, like the Sex Pistols and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. There's a very much like aspect of that.
Then you got I forget his name, like his actual name, but he's basically Spider-Man India, right?
It's Peter Parker, but like in a very like Indian way.
Yeah, like,
and he's one of those characters that has a very much like a redesign, because like he had a very much like a Eastern kind of look to it, like in the original comics, but like here they ramped it up, they made it more colorful and stuff.
Yeah, he's a pretty interesting, cool guy. You know? Trying to think of other stuff. I mean, there's also various cameos of other like.
Yeah.
Notable animated versions of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I think I remember seeing the Unlimited.
Yeah, like Unlimited was there. I saw him too. Spectacular. The PSY Spider-Man was in there.
Yeah, like Insomniac Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He actually does get a line. And yeah. I think they actually just use his game model for like, they don't like make a reanimated version or like, because some of that stuff is like not like a, you know. Because, like, I think with Spider-Man Unlimited, like, it's just him, but, like, in a 3D model-esque kind of thing. But no, I'm pretty sure with the Insomniac Spider-Man, it's just this model from the PlayStation game being voice acted. And you even get Yuri Lowenthal to do a line.
Which is pretty funny to me.
Yeah.
They even get Joss Keane to do a line as the Spectacular Spider-Man from the cartoon.
Yeah.
And, like, a little hint of, like, shit that could have happened in Season 3. But, yeah, no, this is probably, like, again, what I was saying earlier, there's a lot of stuff in here. If you're a big Spider-Man fan, you'll notice. Like, to my surprise, they included one of the newer Spider people that was in the comics, the one that was paraplegic. You noticed her, but, like, I like how you didn't really notice that she was paraplegic, but she was, like, on the wheelchair with the little...
Yeah, I just thought she might have been, like, Professor X kind of, you know?
No. She's, like, a Spider-Man kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's really cool. I really liked the introduction of her. She was really awesome. But, yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff going around. I want to talk more about it, but, again, I can't be spoiling too much, right? Because it's very hard for me not to spoil. Because there's a lot of stuff in this movie that I want to talk about, but I can't. Because it's, like, it wouldn't feel right. Because I want people who go out there and watch it to be blown away just as much as I was.
Yeah, because I'll say this right now, because I remember seeing comments about this whenever we saw, like, new clips coming out, like, these past couple weeks of Spider-Man, of Spider-Verse. People were being like, I think they're showing too much of the movie.
They do not.
No. You're getting, like, the clips that are out there right now, like, the promotional clips, are all of, like, you know, like, the fan service-y kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the actual meat and bone of the story is still, like, very well hidden. And, like, once you learn, like, the exact, like, disagreement that causes Miles to go, nah, this ain't me, man. I'm gonna do my own thing.
Yeah.
You know? To, you know, like, that, like, sort of, like, crux, that conflict.
Yeah.
Is, you know, is, like, the real, like, okay, this is, like, this is big, this is thematic. And then it obviously it's like leads into the various consequences afterwards, and like now you're like, okay, so how is this next movie gonna go?
Yeah,
you know,
there's a lot of like questions arise, and like possibilities that come out of this, because again, it is a part one. It's technically it was supposed to be a part one. Technically, it still is, but you know, the third movie is gonna be its own thing. I hate to use this because it's one of those overused lines when people talk about movies, especially when it comes to a very good sequel. It's The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, where, like, the second one is a bit darker, puts our characters in a very, like at a low point.
Yeah.
And sets up, like, alright, this next one is going to be the one that, like, wraps things up.
Yeah.
That, like, puts, you know...
Yeah, and... Again, I'd hate to use that, but they're not wrong, because, like, there's a lot of aspects in there that made me go, like, oh, I wonder if they'll do this, I wonder if they'll do that kind of stuff, and I can't be hyping myself up too much, because if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Right.
Not to say that this is a disappointing movie. This is a very good movie. it's like one of the best anime movies I think to come out in a long time, especially with like a lot of the artistic styles that they wanted to go with, and a lot of the you know, flair that each Spider-Man kind of has. Like, there's a lot of stuff that, especially when they go to their respective universe, like
it's very hard.
I don't like to like mispronounce names. I don't like to butcher them. Years of hearing my name being butchered has caused me like to be more, you know.
Yeah, no, I get that. But yeah, no. I'm just gonna go with Indian Spider-Man.
Yeah, Indian Spider-Man. He's still Spider-Man, but yeah. like his world is so colorful and like vibrant. And it's like so amazing, and like we talked about earlier with Hobby, Spider-Punk, his is so like amazing. I can't wait to see his universe. And then like we go to like another universe, where I can say what universe it is, but it's so dark and like hopeless, I would say, kind of thing. And then it fits that aesthetic for that world. When we get to like Miguel O'Hara, it's very futuristic because that's kind of the point. It's 2099, right? And it's kind of has its own flair to it. Now, what I mean by Miguel is antagonistic, but like he has a point. I can't, without going that much into it, I kind of understand where he's coming from, right? There, it's an aspect of like, okay, the chances of like, you know, of this being for you, like what you want, Miles, is unrealistic. Like, it makes no sense.
It's a very, like, things aren't always going to go the way you want them to.
Yeah.
Kind of vibe. Like, mm-hmm. You have to learn to live with, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. Right?
And, like, he's not wrong, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of the folly of a hero, right? That sometimes you can't be, like, saving everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a hint of that in the trailers, into the some of the promotional stuff. But, again, you're not getting the meat and bones yet.
Right.
You're only getting the appetizer before you get to the entree. Spot. He's not into that much, I'm going to be honest.
No, he's not, but...
He is serviceable to a T.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, he's very... Because I think the funny thing is, like, you feel like he's just kind of like a very jokey villain.
Which he is.
Yeah, but it's like one of those, like, oh, okay, now he's,
yeah.
Okay, now there's a point where he's like, he stops being a joke. Okay, he's being serious. Jesus Christ.
Oh, crap. And the way they visually represent that is so cool. He's probably one of my favorite animated things in the movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's just a clear white space, right? And you can see, like, a little, like, lines of, like, the circle and line stuff that people would, like, what artists would do, like, to, like,
yeah, sketch, like, the skeleton.
I love that. That was so cool. And so creative.
I mean, yeah, and, you know, his name is Spot, so because he has these, like, black spots that will appear on his body sometimes. They use it to, like, make little portals.
Yeah.
And stuff.
But, and again, like, I've always known him mainly from the 90s Spider-Man cartoon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that, he was only there for one episode. But I find it funny, right, that the 90s show was the one that came up with the idea of the Spider-Verse first, and now has come up with the connection of Spot as well. So this is what I was talking about earlier, right? So like in the 90s cartoon, towards the end of the season, the final season, right, there's like Madame Webb's like, okay, Peter, I'm going to have you go to this universe, this alternate universe. You turn bad, you fuse with the Carnage symbiote, because for a reason, a portal appeared that was the same portal that was developed by Spot, right? That had the Carnage symbiote, so now it's Spider Carnage, right? And you're going to team up with all these different Spider-Men from different universes. Also, there's Ben Reilly. He's like, who the fuck are you? He's like, I'm a clone of you. Remember that one dude? Yeah, I remember that dude. Fuck that dude. Exactly.
Yeah, and I think there's an Iron Spider, kind of, like, before Iron, like, the Iron Spider suit was a thing.
Yeah, it was like a medieval knight kind of looking thing, but yeah.
Yeah.
It was really cool. It's kind of funny how the 90s Spider-Man, like, predated all this shit.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is kind of like one of those like little neat fan knowledge things, you know, where it's like, you know, technically, you know, the 90s Spider-Man was the first to do a weird like multi crossover thing of different Spider-Men.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it is kind of neat to see that.
Yeah. But going back to Spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's one of those he's a character that is done in a way where it's like, holy crap, this is a really cool like reinterpretation of the character that's like not only modern but also makes him much more interesting, right? Because like I said, he's not that important in the comics. Uh-huh. My only knowledge of him was in the 90s cartoon, which is why seeing all this made me go like, oh yeah, they did do that. Oh, I like how they connected that. That's cool. But they made him more of a threat here. And again, we won't go into it as to why he becomes more of a threat. But like, let's just say when he becomes, like, you're going to be like, oh shit. Oh, that's that's bad.
Right.
Yeah. Anything else you want to go in with?
I will say there is a, not to say that this is something that I am against, but it is kind of interesting that they are pushing a bit of a romance subplot with Miles and Gwen.
Yeah. I've never been a fan of that romance. Mostly because it always felt kind of weird to me.
Mm.
Right? Like, not to say, like, Spider-Man and Gwen Stacy can't be a thing together, right? No, it's I'm totally fine. What if, like, a different universe, Gwen? And, like I've heard all of it, right? I heard all of the weird, like, thought processes. For me, it's just really weird because it's, like, putting Gwen in this really weird spot, right, as a character.
Right.
Where she's kind of, like, the center of, like, all the romances. Granted, this is a multiverse storyline, so it kind of, like, makes a little sense, but it's kind of weird, right?
I mean, Gwen herself makes a statement of, like, you know, Gwen Stacy always gets involved with Spider-Man somehow, but it almost always never ends up going, you know, well.
Yeah, no, her Peter died, we all know what happened with Gwen.
Yeah, we all know what happens in Gwen in most Spider-Man stories.
Yeah.
She is like, you know, she dies and is one of the various catalysts of like, yeah, Spider-Man can't save everyone, not even his girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know?
And just giving her this kind of like role, I always felt, especially for like with Miles, right? It always feels kind of weird to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It feels like it's making Gwen a really like weird,
like it defaults like the one like main female character we have to just being like also love interest, right?
Yeah. Now, granted, she has more of a agency in this movie, so I'm not against like the character, right? This isn't the same Gwen as it is in the comics, all that stuff. But it's always weird to me when they kind of put her in this weird romance aspect, right? Because even in the original, like, Spider-Verse comic, right? Peter's like, Gwen, I can't let you do this. Like, you know, it's like, Peter, I know. I lost my Peter. I know how it feels. But I'm still going to fight, right?
Right.
Like, that's still kind of weird to me, right? Like, it's like, Peter, come. That's not the same Gwen. Dude, come on. But like it feels kind of weird. It's like this weird attachment thing. Again, this is not me on the character. This is me how it's kind of like weirdly.
I think what made it weird for me was the fact that they also kind of like are sort of making it a love triangle, even though like I don't know, they're kind of half-assing like a love triangle with Spider-Punk, Spider, you know, with Gwen and Miles, because like it's like they make notes of like, oh yeah, no, she's been hanging out with the Spider-Hong, you know, she crashes at her place, his place all the time, you know.
Like, what do you mean by crashing at his place?
Like, yeah, you know, it's like, what do you mean, like, this true, like, you know, You're like, you left your toothbrush back there. And I'll say, what do you mean you left this toothbrush back there? What does that mean?
Yeah.
A lot of that. And it's like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I'm glad it's not that big of a thing, because I know from what I remember hearing, like, that there was going to be something like that. And I'm like, oh, please don't let this be like a running
storyline or something.
Like a running gag that happens all the time. And like, it's kind of like, thankfully, a bit toned down, but it's still kind of, I think that's what made it weird for me. Okay, so you're getting, all right, so you're implying that, you know, there might be a thing between Miles and Gwen. Okay, I guess I can live with that. But now you're trying to spin it with a love triangle thing just to make the audience feel like, oh, you know, like, who to root for. It's like, why did you got to do that?
Yeah, it puts Gwen in a weird spot.
Yeah, like,
because it's like, she's always been relegated as the girlfriend that died.
Yeah, now we're putting her, once again, it just, like, oh yeah, she's dating spider people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why can't you just be her own, you know?
It's really weird.
Yeah.
Like, again, I'm not against the, I like the character in the movie. She's really cool. It's just really weird how we're kind of doing this, right? It's not hurting my opinion of the movie, actually.
Yeah, like, strangely enough, this criticism is not even, like, it doesn't hurt the experience of the movie.
It doesn't.
It's just a very sort of interesting, like, that is an odd thing for this movie to have, and I'm just kind of wondering where this is going to go in the next one.
Yeah. Because, like, there's a lot of things that leave you, and this is what I'm saying, it leaves you wanting more. Because, like, in my mind, with all that's happened, it's like, oh, what if, like, they do this instead of this, because, like, without going too much into spoilers, let's just say the reason for things happen is, like, one of those things where, oh, you know, it connects very well with the first movie, right? Because of the events that happened in the first movie.
Yeah, like, let's just say that part of the reason why things are the way they are is because of, like, you know, the aftermath of the first movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, messing with the multiverse in the first movie with the, the particle collider by Kingpin has essentially created a ripple effect that, in this movie, mm-hmm. we kind of see the consequences of that ripple effect.
Yeah. And, like, they do things that I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even notice that in the movie, or, like, I didn't think of it. I thought it was something else, but now it means something else. And I'm just like, oh my God, right? So, again, like we were talking earlier about the Gwen stuff, like, that doesn't deteriorate from my enjoyment of the movie, actually. It's more of a, like, a weird footnote.
Right.
Right? And, like, to go along what we were saying a second ago about, like, how, like, the movie kind of, like, is still well-written. To what the point you kind of ignore it, or, like, really don't think about it. But, like, it leads, the way it's set up, the way it, like, transitions from the, you know, from the first movie to this one, and where it could go, kind of, like, makes me going, like, what could happen, right? Because you and me were, like, on the way back from while watching it, we were both, like, where could they go, right? What if they do this? What if it means that this could happen? Or, like, you know, all this crazy stuff. Like, they are... This is one of those. This is a movie that does the idea of the multiverse and runs with it in a way that makes it a lot more interesting than, like, I feel like other multiversal stories have done in, like, live action or, like, in other mediums, right?
Right.
Like, a lot of them have do it in a really cool way. This one's is a very different and a really, like, cool way. I'll just say that, right? I think that's about as much as I can say. Oh, the music was good. The animation styles are fantastic.
There's a lot of frames where you can go, I could use that as a wallpaper.
Oh, hell yes. There, and, like, just like the first one, like, where they're like, yeah, if you, like, stop it at a certain, like, frame, you can see how, like, we, like, layered it to be, like, a comic book. And I was like, yeah, I can see a speech bubble right there where that dude is talking, right? I like there's enough like space on that one area where I can see a speech bubble.
Heck, there were some speech bubbles that were popping up sometimes. Heck, there was even like some like little like
the asterisks.
Asterisks that like explain some things.
Yeah.
Like I think Spider-Punk makes like a like this like slang reference, and you're kind of just like, wait, what? And it, for a quick like second or two, pops up. Oh yeah, that's you know.
Yeah.
Because he's British, like, oh, that's British slang for this. And it's like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So there's quite a bit of that in this movie, which, I mean, I will say might be distracting for some audiences.
Yeah.
But for the most part, at least for me, when I was watching it, they were just kind of like, oh, that's kind of neat.
It you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It makes the experience much more engaging, in my opinion. Because they really made it feel like a comic book, which is basically what a lot of people said about the first one, and now they just ran it with it in this one. But yeah, I think that's as much as I can say. All I want to say is I don't know where the next one's gonna go, because they leave it in such a way, and they introduce a lot of stuff that made me go like, wait, does that mean? Oh, if they do that, that'd be nuts. That would be nuts, right? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? I don't know. There's also like small like indicators of like MCU Spider-Man.
Well, I mean, from the trailer, we know that they do mention the events of No Way Home. Miguel being like, "Hey, don't get me started with that Doctor Strange and the nerd from Earth, 199999 and stuff." You know, like. Those idiots messing with the time multiverse.
Yeah, there's a bit more.
And I mean, I'm just like, there's that, and also like solid mentions of the other like live action Spider-Man movies. Like we don't get like a full like Toby cameo or Andrew cameo. I'll say that right now.
Yeah, we're not getting that.
Yeah, they don't show up and like hunt down Miles and stuff. There's none of that. But we do get to see like little references to them.
Yeah, this is the Spider-Verse. They're including everyone, including those guys.
Yeah,
but don't expect anything too much. That's all we're gonna say.
Like I don't expect much from say like as much as it would be cool for a Tom Holland cameo as the MCU Spider-Man. I'm pretty sure that given Marvel's and Sony's deal with how they're using Spider-Man, like, they can't really use Tom, like, for stuff without, like, the Kevin Feige and Marvel Studios approval kind of thing.
Yeah. And I kind of get it. I kind of get why. But, yeah, I think this is a good place to end it, right? I want to talk more, but they're not be going into spoiler.
I mean, we can wrap up with our scores, you know?
Yeah, so you go first. What is your score for this movie?
I'm going to say that this movie gets like a 9 out of 10 for me. And I think the only reason why I'm not giving it a 10 out of 10 is just simply because... It does kind of leave and on a bit of a cliffhanger. Like
we knew that was happening though.
I know I knew that was going to happen, but I think for me I think the difference between this and say something like Infinity War. Like Infinity War ends on a cliffhanger, but it feels so like it has like a bit of finality
to it. Yes, I understand what you're saying.
Like this part of the story has wrapped up.
Yeah.
You know? This part of the story had its own three-act structure and had a conclusion. It's just that the conclusion is that Thanos snaps half of the universe away. Our heroes have lost. Thanos is sitting, you know, comfortably on a grateful universe as the sun sets.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
As he wanted it.
As he wanted to. He's, you know. Meanwhile, this movie, I'm not going to spoil, obviously, the ending, but it leaves in a, you know, in an obvious, like, hey, okay... there is more stuff to come. There is a lot of stuff that's about to go down.
They confirmed it's going to be more crazier in the next one.
yeah. So, you know, all this stuff's going to go down, and we'll see you in March.
Yeah. For me, in my heart of hearts, 10 out of 10. But if I'm being critical, I would have to agree on a 9 out of 10. Everything that we just said was perfect. It was done so well. The story arcs, the character relationships, the art style, the visuals. My God, I was going crazy. I loved it. The references, the connections to the comics, and everything about it was done so well. It left me wanting more. I wanted more. And I knew it. And just because it leaves in a cliffhanger, it shouldn't be a negative. It shouldn't. But I kind of understand why some people are like, it's almost perfect. It's almost. Or it is perfect. Right? I can understand why it's those two camps. For me, it's perfect, but it's missing. I need to see the second movie to complete it, right? It's like when you watch Infinity War, you're like, I want to see what's next. I can't, you know.
Right.
I can't give my full thoughts until I see the whole thing, right? And, like, obviously people had different opinions on that kind of stuff. But, like, for me, yeah, 9 out of 10 makes perfect sense. I can't wait for more, though.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for March.
Yeah, I mean, I can't either. It's going to be very interesting to see how this story wraps up, you know?
Yeah. I hope that they all come together and fight the big bad. That's all I want.
Mm-hmm.
It might happen, but it's going to be a bit of a struggle to get there, and I want that struggle to be there. But, yeah, guys, that's the end of the episode. Be sure to follow us on all social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And Thinking Centurions, we're most active on our Instagram, where you'll find a link tree to all the podcasts that we're officially part of, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, all the like. And we have a link to the YouTube where you'll find us there. You be sure to comment, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. And you have a Patreon for anyone who wants to support us. Yeah, that's our thoughts on Into the Spider-Verse. Yeah, just go watch it. Because, I want to talk more about it, but I can't because I don't believe in spoiling it for some people, right? Like, I would love to talk about this movie, like, full-heartedly. I can't wait for you guys to watch it. But anyways, it's been your boy, Eli.
Me, Joe.
Yeah, guys, have a good one. Peace.